Śrīsukha uvāca evam pura dhāranayā tvayone naṣṭām śmṛtir pratyavarūdhya tuṣṭām tathā sasarje dhammamoga drishti yathāpyayat prāg vyavasāya buddhi śrī sukho vāca evam pura dhāranayātma yoni naṣṭām śmṛtir pratyavarūdhya tuṣṭāt tathā sasarje dhammamoga drishti yathāpyayat prāg vyavasāya buddhi evam pura dhāranayātma yoni naṣṭām śmṛtir pratyavarūdhya tuṣṭāt tathā sasarje dhammamoga drishti yathāpyayat prāg vyavasāya buddhi śrīsukha uvāca Thank you so much. Nice to have recitations from all the four directions. Including when Mataji was reciting, it was like the Akashvani, you know? It's like, wow, the voice is coming from the demigods. Thank you so much. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Evam, just in the same way, Buddha, prior to the manifestation of the cosmos, Dharanaya, by such a conception, Atmayoni, of Brahmaji, Nashtam, lost, Smritim, remembrance, Ratyavarudhya, by regaining consciousness, Tushtat, because of appeasing the Lord, Tatha, thereafter, Sasarja, created, Idam, this material world, Amogha Drishti, one who has attained clear vision, Yatha, as, Apyayat, created, Prak, as formerly, Vyavasaya, ascertained, Buddhi, intelligence. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Lesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, formerly, prior to the manifestation of the cosmos, Lord Brahma, by meditating on the Virat Roop, regained his lost consciousness by appeasing the Lord. Thus, he was able to rebuild the creation as it was before. Purport. The example cited herein of Sri Brahmaji is one of forgetfulness. Brahmaji is the incarnation of one of the mundane attributes of the Lord. Being the incarnation of the passion mode of material nature, he is empowered by the Lord to generate the beautiful material manifestation. Yet, due to his being one of the numerous living entities, he is apt to forget the art of his creative energy. This forgetfulness of the living being, beginning from Brahma down to the lowest insignificant ant, is a tendency which can be counteracted by meditation on the Virat Roop of the Lord. This chance is available in the human form of life, and if a human being follows the instruction of Srimad Bhagavatam and begins to meditate upon the Virat Roop, then revival of his pure consciousness and counteraction of the tendency to forget his eternal relationship with the Lord can follow simultaneously. And as soon as this forgetfulness is removed, the Vyavasaya Buddhi, as mentioned here, and in the Bhagavad Gita 2.41, follows at once. This ascertained knowledge of the living being leads to loving service of the Lord, which the living being requires. The kingdom of God is unlimited, therefore the number of assisting hands of the Lord is also unlimited. The Bhagavad Gita 13.14 asserts that the Lord has His hands, legs, eyes and mouth in every nook and corner of this creation. This means that the expansions of differentiated parts and parcels called jivas or living entities are assisting hands of the Lord, and all of them are meant for rendering a particular pattern of service to the Lord. The conditioned soul, even in the position of Brahma, forgets this by the illusory material energy generated out of false egoism. One can counteract such false egoism by invoking God consciousness. Liberation means getting out of the slumber of forgetfulness and becoming situated in the real loving service of the Lord, as exemplified in the case of Brahma. The service of Brahma is the samples of service in liberation distinguished from the so-called altruistic activities, services full of mistakes and forgetfulness. Liberation is never in action, but service without human mistakes. Srila Prabhupada ki. This is the sad story of our life. Somehow or other, we have forgotten Krishna. Krishna bhuli se jiva anadi. That the living entity since time immemorial has forgotten about Krishna and is now nikata stamaya dhare japatiya dhare, is now being struck down by the energy of maya, which is keeping the living entity in illusion. Once a devotee had left the movement, so there was a meeting. And Srila Prabhupada was present in that meeting. And Srila Prabhupada asked, where is this devotee? So then one devotee stood up and he said, oh, that devotee, he left. And then someone else stood up and said, anyway, Srila Prabhupada, when he's been kicked by the material energy enough, then he will come back. And Prabhupada looked at that devotee and said, just as there is no limit to the varieties of enjoyment in the spiritual world, similarly there are no limit to the varieties of ways in which maya can entrap and illusion the spirit soul in the material world. The maya has every trick under the sun to keep the living entity in forgetfulness. This is the sad story of our life. Therefore, we are trying to bring in Krishna. Krishna Surya Sama Hoya Maya Andhakar. Yaha Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Radhikar. Krishna is just like the sun and Maya is like darkness. And wherever there is Krishna, there cannot be any darkness. And therefore, here we are hearing of how Brahmaji regained his consciousness by meditating on the universal form of the Lord, Virat Rup. Just by studying and focusing and meditating on this universe, he began to understand, yes, there is a Lord, the Supreme Lord exists, and this brought him back in contact. One time Srila Prabhupada brought a flower to a devotee and said, see this? Just by studying this flower, you can become God conscious. Isn't that amazing? Because yes, we look around at the world, and if a devotee is intelligent, if a devotee has the proper vision, then behind all the Virat, all the universal things that we see in this world, we will see Krishna. Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam shrimad urjitameva va tattadeva vagachatvam mamatejam sasambhavam. Whatever beautiful and glorious creations one sees, the devotee sees that this is just a spark of Krishna's splendor. One time Srila Prabhupada was in the airport and an air stewardess walked past and Prabhupada turned to the brahmachari and said, beautiful, isn't she? So that was an awkward moment. What do you do? Disagree with Srila Prabhupada? No, Prabhupada, I think you're wrong. Or do you say yes, but maybe he's testing me? You're brahmachari? So the brahmachari took the safe option and stayed quiet. And then Prabhupada turned and said, if she's that beautiful, imagine how beautiful Krishna is. Yes, because the devotee sees behind it all is Krishna. So we are trying to bring this consciousness of Krishna back into our life. And the Bhagavatam is systematically teaching us and training us to again have this vision of the Lord. Yomam pasyati sarvatra sarvam cha mai pasyati tasya aham na pranashyami sacha me na pranashyati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So the Bhagavatam systematically helps us. The Bhagavatam contains 10 topics, as we know, isn't it? Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanamutaya manvantare shanukatha nirodha muktirashraya. These are the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam. Now different commentators, they say different things about these topics. Some of them say that all the topics are contained in all of the cantos. Sometimes it's said that particular cantos focus on particular topics. One breakdown that's often given of the Bhagavatam and the 10 topics is this. This is given by commentators like Sridhar Swami, Viraragavacharya. They say the third canto is focusing on sarga, elemental creation, isn't it? Because you have the conversations of Maitreya Muni. You have the conversations of Kapila Dev explaining about all the elements. This is usually the toughest part of the Bhagavatam for most of us. Canto number 4 is dealing with Visarga. Yes, secondary creation. Creation from Brahmaji. Yes, because from Brahma, then Svayambhuva Manu, and then Svayambhuva Manu is having their offspring, and then their offspring, and like that we are learning in the canto, the fourth canto, the different descendants from Brahma. Fifth canto is dealing with Sthanam, or the planetary systems, isn't it? All the different structure of the universe. Sixth canto is dealing with Poshanam, nourishment, how Krishna is bestowing his grace upon the living entities like Ajamil and giving them a second chance. Number 7, Uti. Canto number 7 is dealing with the creative impetus. Because what is the creative impetus behind everything in this world? Lust. Pumsha striya mituni bhavametam. The attraction between man and woman, this lust. From that, ato griha kshetra sutapta viter janasya moho yamahamma meti. Then everything is coming. One Srila Prabhupada was walking past, I think it was the New York sky, I think it was France or New York. And as Prabhupada was looking by, looking at the skyline, with the huge high-rise buildings, Prabhupada said, the women in this city must be very beautiful. Interesting connection. Prabhupada said, because there are so many big buildings, creation is going on. That means the man and the women are uniting in attraction, and therefore so much material creation is going on. Eighth canto is dealing with Manvantara, the Manus, isn't it? We're reading about all the different Manus in the eighth canto. Ninth canto is dealing with Ishanukatha, the activities of the Supreme Lord. Yes, in the ninth canto we are hearing about Parashuram. We are hearing about Lord Ram. And we're hearing about all the lineages which lead to Krishna's birth. Canto number 10 is dealing with Ashraya. Because Krishna is the supreme shelter. Krishna is the supreme lovable object. Canto number 11 is dealing with Mukti. Because yes, Krishna is speaking to Uddhavji, preparing him to leave the world. Yes, Uddhavji, you take sannyas. I'm giving you my final instructions. And then you prepare yourself to leave this world. And 12th canto is dealing with Nirodha, annihilation. How this world is periodically annihilated. how the living entities are all annihilated, and ultimately how Parikshit is annihilated by the snake bite of Taksha. So then this leaves the question, what are cantos 1 and 2 about? So according to this analysis of our acharyas, canto number 1 is dealing with adhikar, the qualification of someone to hear Bhagavatam. Because in the first canto, we are hearing the conversations between Suta Goswami and the sages. We're hearing the conversations between Narada and Vyas. We're hearing the conversations between Sukadeva and Parikshit. And in these conversations between the speaker and the listener, we are hearing what is the adhikar of one who wants to understand and grasp and absorb the full message of the Bhagavatam. And the basic qualification for one to hear Bhagavatam is that one has to be desperate. One has to have incredible eagerness. One must be able to hear with rapt attention. Then one can grasp the message of Bhagavatam. And then our acharyas say canto number 2, which is what we're dealing with now. Canto number 2 is all about sadhana, the means of connection. How do we actually revive our consciousness of Krishna? Because yes, nitya siddha Krishna praying, sadhya kabunoi. It's already there. It's already within you. It simply has to be reawakened. So what is the means of reawakening our dormant consciousness of Krishna? And because there were so many different sages of so many different denominations, when Sukadeva and Parikshit were speaking, therefore Sukadeva Goswami gives different means of sadhana. Meditation on the universal form, meditation on Paramatma within the heart, worship of the demigods, and then finally it culminates in pure devotional service. So in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly in these first three chapters of the second canto, we are hearing what is the means of connecting ourselves back to Krishna. Amidst all the other duties, amidst all the other responsibilities, amidst all the other pressures and pushing expectations that there are in our life, the biggest job is to revive our remembrance of Krishna at every moment. Yena tena prakarena mana Krishna niveshayet. The devotee came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, sometimes I forget Krishna. Prabhupada said, you always forget Krishna and sometimes you remember him. When will we make that switch? That always forgetting Krishna and sometimes remembering him? When will we make that switch to always remembering Krishna? That is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not just that I chant 16 rounds a day. Krishna consciousness is not just that I attended Mangalarti today. Krishna consciousness is not just that I have studied all the Shastra and I have my Bhakti Shastri to prove it. That is wonderful. That is very nice. And those things we must do. But the net result of it is we must remember Krishna. We must be conscious and aware of Krishna. Otherwise, again, we become an atheist. You know, there are different types of atheists in this world. One type of atheist is called a default atheist. They are the people who don't believe in God because they couldn't be bothered to even look into it. Then you have philosophical atheists. They are the ones who disbelieve in God because they feel that science has taken God out of the equation. We've answered everything. We know where the world came from. Then there are emotional atheists. They disbelieve in God not because it makes philosophical sense, but because they're angry with God. Maybe something happened in their life. Maybe they were let down. Maybe some terrible thing happened in the name of religion, and therefore they turn away from God because of heavy emotions. Then there are covered atheists. They are the Mayavadis. Once I was walking down the street and someone had a t-shirt, and on the front it said, "I used to be an atheist." I thought, dot, dot, dot. I thought, this sounds promising. And then he walked past me, and on the back it said, "And then I realized, I am God." I thought, oh no, that's even worse. No, no, be an atheist again. Because yes, a covered atheist. You see, the God is here. The living entity is here. And the atheists, what they do is pull God down. Take him down. There's no God. And they make it equal. And what does the impersonalist, the Mayavadi do? Yeah, God is there. We also did. So therefore is covered atheism. Do you understand? Because you're removing the distinction. Whether you remove the distinction here or you remove the distinction here, once you remove the Bhakta and the Bhagavan, then it's atheism. Therefore Srila Prabhupada said, it is a favorite sport of the Vaishnavas to defeat Mayavadis. Then there are transcendental atheists. Ever heard of that one? Default, you know. Philosophical, you know. Emotional, you know. Covered, you know. Transcendental? Yes. Because in the spiritual world, yoga maya is functioning. And the cowherd boys look at Krishna and say, "Who are you? You think you are a big man? You and us, we are the same. And we defeated you in wrestling, so now you carry us on your shoulders." In Vrindavan, they don't love Krishna because he's God. They love God because he's Krishna. But there is another type of atheist. That atheist is called the psychological atheist. That is the one who dresses like a devotee. That is the one who talks like a devotee. Isn't it? Devotees use words that no one else in the world uses, like bona fide. No one uses that word. He is spaced out. That's a devotee word. You dress like a devotee, you speak like a devotee, you carry yourself like a devotee, you even do the activities of a devotee, but in our consciousness, in our psychology, we are always taking Krishna out of the picture. Once I was in one home, and there was a beautiful picture of Krishna Balaram like this. So for 2 hours, I was chanting in front of that picture. Back and forth. Beautiful picture of Krishna Balaram. And you know what I realized after 2 hours? Every time I was walking to the picture, instead of seeing Krishna Balaram, I was looking at my own reflection. Isn't it amazing? You can be right in front of Krishna and you can be completely self-absorbed. That is a psychological atheist. And so perhaps we think the atheists are all the people out there. The atheists are all the people out there that we have to invite to a program. But maybe a little bit of that atheist is within us. Therefore, the consciousness has to embody remembrance of Krishna. Then the consciousness becomes Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan is the place where Krishna is the center. So here Brahmaji was able to trigger that consciousness of Krishna. And this is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. This is the purpose of our temples. That somehow or other they have to trigger this remembrance of Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada came to London, his famous words in the press conference, his very famous first words when he landed in London, the reporter asked him, "Swamiji, what have you come here to teach?" And Prabhupada said, "I have come here to teach you what you've forgotten." And the reporter said, "What's that?" Clearly they had forgotten. Prabhupada said, "I've come here to teach you about God." Some people say God is dead. Some people say God is an energy. Some people say God is irrelevant. But I've come here to teach you how you can see God face to face. So that is the purpose of our movement. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to this world. E mata bhakta bhav kori angikar apani achari bhakti kori la prachar. He takes the bhakta bhav and he begins to give us all the clues, all the hints, the ideal example of how to awaken consciousness of Krishna. And then what Mahaprabhu does is he brings the Goswamis. And the Goswamis are the ones who explain to us how we can awaken the remembrance of Krishna in our life. See, Mahaprabhu comes in this world for two reasons. An internal reason and an external reason. When Mahaprabhu wants help to fulfill his internal purpose of relishing Radha Bhav, then he takes the help of the Sakhis. Lalita Sakhi is Swarup Damodar. Vishakha Devi is Ramananda Rai. And with their help, Mahaprabhu fulfills his internal purpose because the Sakhis help him to experience love. But when Mahaprabhu wants to explain love, when Mahaprabhu wants to teach the world how they can develop love, when Mahaprabhu wants to establish the movement which will give the insights of how to reawaken Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema that is within the heart, then Mahaprabhu takes the help of the Manjaris. Rupa Goswami is the leader, Rupa Manjari. And Rupa Goswami and the Goswamis then become the masterminds of bhakti. The Goswamis are the masterminds of bhakti. They are the masterminds because the first thing is they have mastered their mind and senses. They are also the masterminds because they have understood the mind of their master. But they are also the masterminds because they know how to masterfully awaken Krishna consciousness within the mind of every single living entity. Therefore, Rupa Goswami and the six Goswamis give us all the keys. When Mahaprabhu wants them to establish the Krishna consciousness movement, which will awaken this knowledge, this consciousness, then Mahaprabhu gives them instructions. Bhakta bhakti Krishna prem tatvera nidhar Vaishnavera kritya ara Vaishnava achar Krishna bhakti Krishna prem seva pravartan Lupta tirtha udara ar Vairagya shikshan. Mahaprabhu gives the Goswamis five keys. And he says, "I want you to do these five things and teach people these five things, because these five things are the keys to unlocking bhakti rasa." The first key, bhakta bhakti Krishna prem tatvirani dhar. The first key is tattva. What Mahaprabhu tells the Goswamis is write books which establish the truth of who is a devotee, who is God, and what is the process of bhakti. Therefore, in a devotee's life, tattva is very important. I'm not talking about the book that I've authored, by the way. That's just called tattva. Krishna Tattva. Tattva means universal truths that stand true in all times, places, and circumstances. Nana Shastra Vicharane Kunipuno Sadharma Sanstapako. What the Goswamis do, they are like cows. Have you seen cows? They don't move much. The only thing that's moving generally is their mouth. But what is happening from all of that chewing? They are then producing milk. And that milk is nourishing the world. And so the Goswamis, Shastra Vicharane Kanipan, they're contemplating, churning, and drawing out Sadharma, the Tattva that we need to understand. So the first thing in awakening our remembrance of Krishna is we need to read the books written by the Goswamis. If we want to understand Bhagavatam, we have to understand through the parampara. Jaha Bhagavata Pada Vaishnava Rastane Ekanta Ashraya Kore Chaitanya Charane. It is said that if the Bhagavatam is establishing who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, isn't it? Ete chamsha kala pumsha Krishna's tu Bhagavan Svayam. So Bhagavatam establishes who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the Goswamis, they churn it further and they establish who is the Supreme Personality of Krishna. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajay Satanayasta Dhamma Vrindavanam. Krishna, who lives in Vrindavan, who is the son of Nanda Maharaj, who enchants the gopis, that is Krishna. And that Krishna Tattva is outlined in the books that the Goswamis leave us. So therefore the first key, if you want to awaken remembrance of Krishna, is we have to understand Tattva as given by the Goswamis. The second thing, Vaishnavera Kritya Aura Vaishnava Achar. Mahaprabhu tells the Goswamis, establish Sadachar, how a devotee should behave, how a devotee should act, what should be the character, the personality of a devotee. Sadachar literally means the best way to act. And therefore, we can have all the tattva, but if we don't have sadachar, then we will not awaken remembrance of Krishna. Because it's not just knowledge. Krishna says, along with knowledge, you have to have humility. Vidya vinaya shampane brahmane gavi hastini. Krishna says, it's not just knowledge, but you have to have faith. Shraddhaval labhate jnanam. Krishna says, it's not just knowledge, but you have to embody austerity. Idam te na tapashkaya na bhaktaya kadachana. Krishna says, it's not just knowledge, but you also have to have renunciation. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shikshartameka Purusha Purana. And Krishna says, it's not just knowledge, but you need to have mercy. Athapite deva pudambuja dvaya prasada lesha nukrihita evahi. If you don't have prasad, if you have not attracted the goodwill of Krishna and the devotees, if you are not showered with grace, prasada lesha nugrihita evahi, you will never be able to understand Krishna. And how do you attract that grace? Sadachar. When Mahaprabhu saw Sanatan Goswami, he said, your behavior is impeccable. Your behavior is outstanding. Your behavior sets the standard for the whole world. And your behavior attracts all the grace of the Vaishnavas. So Sadachar is the second key. And then Krishna Bhakti, Krishna Prem, Seva Pravartan. Mahaprabhu told the Goswamis, seva, establish places where people can come and render seva, service to Krishna. So therefore we come to the temple, not just to be here, but to also serve here. The temple is a place in which we serve Krishna. The temple is a place in which we are simulating the spiritual world. Prabhupada said, temples are embassies of the spiritual world. And embassies, even the Indian embassy in London, in the middle of winter, has a fan on the ceiling that's going round. And you think, why in the world is there a fan in this building in the middle of winter? Because it's the Indian embassy. And when you go inside the Indian embassy, you're no longer in London. There are other facets of India that take place in the Indian embassy, which I won't share with you today. But you can imagine. When we come to the temple and see the deities, it's such a deep impression on the heart. I tell you an amazing story. One year, I was doing the marathon, book marathon in Paris. So I was on the streets in Paris, trying to distribute books. This was the hardest experience in my life, because if you don't speak French, what do you do? And French people refuse to learn English. They say the English should learn French. They are, should I say, stubborn? So the whole day in France, all you hear is, no mercy, no mercy. Of course, mercy means thank you. So they're saying, no thank you, no thank you. But actually they're saying, no mercy, I don't want any mercy. No mercy. And it was difficult. So one day I was in Paris, it was a difficult day. I was holding the Bhagavad Gita. And then this one boy came up to me, Muslim boy. And he said, who's that? So I was thinking, who's he? Then I thought, oh, this, Bhagavad Gita, oh, this is Krishna. So Krishna? He said, this person has captured my mind. I said, how? He said, in my life, I only really went on one holiday. And the one holiday I went to outside of my home place was I went to India. And he said, when I went to India, I went to one temple. And ever since going to that one temple and seeing the devotion and the way in which Krishna was worshipped there, since that moment, I've not been able to forget Krishna. I was like, wow. So I asked him, which temple? He said, no, you won't know this temple. It's a small temple. I said, try me. So he said, no, it was in some obscure place called Jaipur. I said, wow, you went to Jaipur? He said, yes. I said, which temple in Jaipur did you go to? In my mind, I already had a hunch. He said, there was a temple of Govinda. And he said, ever since, this boy, he's a Muslim boy, he knew nothing about. He said, ever since I saw this deity of Krishna, I can't get him out of my mind. And you know what Rupa Goswami says, right? Smeram bhangi traya parichitim sachivishtirna drishtim vamsi nyasta dhara kishalayam ujjvalam chandrakena govindakhyam haritanum itikeshitirto pakante ma prekshistas tavajadi sakhe bandhu sanghe stirangaha. Rupa Goswami says, if you are at all interested in friendship, love, society, and all the things of this world, for goodness sake, don't go to the Yamuna. Because there, standing on the banks of the Yamuna, is Govindaji. And Govindaji is casting sidelong glances at his devotees. And if his eyes meet your eyes, then maybe, just maybe, you will forget about everything. And I was looking at this boy and I was thinking, here is the praman. Here's the full evidence. So it's amazing. Seva Pravartan, these temples create such an impression. And then Krishna again becomes awake within our consciousness. And then Lupta Tirtha. Mahaprabhu told the Goswamis, Tirtha, excavate the holy places, encourage everyone, go to the holy places. What does Tirtha mean? Tirtha means a bridge. It means a connection point. It means a gateway, a portal. Through the Tirtha, one is getting a glimpse of the spiritual world. And therefore, the devotees are taking shelter of Sri Vrindavan Dham, Sri Mayapur Dham, because these places awaken a deep remembrance of Krishna. And then finally, Vairagya Shikshan. Mahaprabhu told the Goswamis, teach the world about Vairagya. Because how can you remember Krishna if you don't give up the things of this world? Bhogeshwarya Prashaktanam Tayaparit Chetasham Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Samadonu Vidhiyate. If you're still attached to the Bhoga and the Aishwarya, Ishvaroham Aham Bhogi Siddhoham Balavan Sukhi. If we still have this mentality of trying to enjoy the world, if we're not ready to let it go, then we can never really grasp full remembrance of Krishna. And so Mahaprabhu told the Goswamis, Vairagya Shikshan, show the ideal example of how to detach from the world. So these become the five keys. If you want to awaken remembrance, if you want that trigger, just as Brahmaji was triggered into remembrance of Krishna, then the triggers are tattva. Study the Shastra and understand tattva. Number two, sadachar. Embody ideal behavior. Conduct yourself in the way that the devotees conduct themselves in the spiritual world. Seva, engage in service and take advantage of these beautiful temples in which the spiritual world is fully manifest. Tirtha, go to the holy places, spend time in Vrindavan. Yes, by all means, as the t-shirt says, I lost my heart in Vrindavan. And then Vairagya. Learn to let go. Learn to let go of this world. Learn to let go of all the worries, all the anxieties, all the bitter feelings. We have so much negativity in our minds, so many bad feelings against others. Do you know why Dhritarashtra, even after renouncing everything, still he could not get full perfection? You know why? Because in his heart and mind, he still held a grudge against the Pandavas. So you have to let go. We have to forgive. The goal of life is not to remember all the terrible things that someone did to you. The goal of life is to remember all the beautiful things that Krishna is doing for us at every moment. But if our heart, if our mind is hijacked by all this negativity, then there's no space left for Krishna. Therefore, we have to let go. And so the Goswamis teach us these beautiful principles. Tattva, sadachar, seva, Tirtha. Vairagya. And in this way we can remember Krishna and make our life successful. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you so much. So they said we're going till 10:45. It's 10:45. So I don't know if we should stop here or we should take some question, or if there are any questions or corrections or comments, or yeah, Prabhu has something. It's coming, Prabhu.
Please raise your hand if you have any questions. Yeah. Ask the question in short.
Last 25 years, but I'm getting
chanting Hare Krishna for 25 years. Yeah.
For the last 25 years, I'm getting some realization in chanting. Like Prabhupada tells us to just hear the holy names, but Krishna says we should chant with intent, bhav. Means Krishna is mine, I love Krishna, I surrender to Krishna. So all these bhav should be there in chanting. But while chanting, the mind is not involved. We just hear and we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So how that intent will come in chanting, that I love Krishna, Krishna is mine, I surrender to Krishna, and because mind is not involved with chanting.
Thank you. Join the club. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, Harikatha is the Swarup Shakti of Harikirtan. Just as Srimati Radharani is the Swarup Shakti of Krishna, we never worship Krishna without Srimati Radharani. And similarly, he says, we never do Harikirtan without Harikatha. Because when we do Harikatha, when we hear about Krishna, Yatrinvatam rasagyanam swadu swadu pade pade. The sages are saying we're hearing this rasagyanam, we're tasting so much, and then naturally when one's heart and mind is filled with Krishna, then when they chant, remembrance of Krishna will come. So Hari Katha helps us to have the right orientation, the right conception, and Hari Katha develops within us a desperation. When we chant, Srila Prabhupada says we should chant like a baby is crying for the mother. And in order for that to happen, one has to have some feeling, some vipralamba, some feeling of separation, some feeling of longing. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the way that that feeling will come is by hearing more and more about Krishna. So as we hear more and more about Krishna, then one day we begin thinking, I really want to be there. Yes, Krishna, I really want to see you. I really want to see you. But it takes so long, as one famous person sung, who was Hari's son, George Harrison. So yes, let us hear about Krishna. Let us reawaken our memory. And in this way, then let's chant with that Hari Katha and pray that it will go deeper. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Hare Krishna. So the question is from the child sitting beside me. How to develop the mood for Hari Katha?
How to develop the mood for Harikatha. Shushusho Shadadhana Sya Vasudeva Katha Ruchi Shyan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishevanat. One must associate with someone who has taste for Harikatha. One must catch the virus. One must become infected. Once a military general had come to see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, you know, preachers are innovative. They find innovative ways to reach the hearts and minds of the people they speak to. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur looked at this person. His name was Kundan Lal. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, just like when there is a military operation, then a helicopter is sent. The helicopter is launched, and then the helicopter comes to the territory, and then gradually the helicopter comes down, and then the helicopter lands. And then when the helicopter lands, the doors open, and out of the doors, all the soldiers with their weapons run in all the directions, and those soldiers then capture all of that territory. Kundan Lal was like, am I seeing a sadhu or a military expert? And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, in the same way, the sound vibration, the Shabda Brahman is launched from the mouth of a Bhagavata. And when those transcendental syllables are launched from the mouth of a Bhagavata, if by good fortune they come down and they land in your heart, then every single syllable will then run out from those words and take over every iota of your being. So we have to hear from people who have taste. Because when someone is speaking Harikatha, they are not just giving you information, but they are transmitting their conviction, their inspiration, their taste. When Srila Prabhupada spoke, it penetrated the hearts of so many people because Srila Prabhupada spoke from a place of love. Mukunda Maharaj, when he saw Srila Prabhupada for the first time and came out, he said, I didn't understand a word of what he said. But I realized this person has something important to tell the world. I have no idea what it is. But just from his tonality, just from the vibration coming from his mouth, I can understand this is some transcendental message. That is a sadhu. So we must seek that association. And let us not just feel that sadhus are people of the past. No, no, there are sadhus amongst us. There are people who have taste for the Bhagavatam amongst us. Just some time ago, I spoke to one of our congregation members in London who's in a high-profile job in the city. And so I asked him, what did you do on the weekend? He said, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, started reading Bhagavatam. I said, wow, great. I said, then what? He said, I carried on. I said, and then what? He said, I read some more. I said, what time did you finish? He said, 11 o'clock at night. I was happy to know that such people exist in the world today who can read Bhagavatam for 10, 11, 12, 13 hours. Yatrin vatam rasa jnanam swadu swadu pade pade. So let us find those sadhus who have that taste and let us become infected. Shan punya tirtha nishevanat. Such service will render one with Vasudev Katha Ruchi, some taste for hearing Krishna. Oh, that's okay. Okay, are we...
Any other questions? Ah, yes.
The Akashvani is coming again.
Yes, please. First time ever in the history of Gopinath. Please.
What can we say? We can try to give you many practical tips here. A seminar on forgiveness. If we don't forgive others, will Krishna ever forgive us? What about all the mistakes we made? What about all the people that we hurt? What about all the insensitivity within our own being? When it comes to other people's mistakes, we are judges. And when it comes to our own mistakes, we're lawyers. So, we need mercy. We also have to give mercy. We have to be kind. We have to be open-hearted. The Vaishnav never closes the door. Ultimately, we can hear it so much that we have to forgive, we have to forgive. But really speaking, the only way we can forgive is when we start developing some bhav for Krishna. It's interesting that out of the 8 symptoms of bhav that Rupa Goswami gives, the first one, Srila Prabhupada translates as forgiveness. Shantiravyartha kalatvam viratir manashunyata ashabanda samutkantha namagane sadaruchi ashaktistad gunakhyane pritistad vashati stale yadayonu bhavashur chatabhavan kurejane. So many symptoms of bhav. But the very first symptom of bhav is shantir, forgiveness. Because when one has opened up their consciousness to the spiritual world, to the love of Krishna, then how you can take the material world so seriously? Then are you going to hold on to that thing that that person said 27.5 years ago that you still remember now? Is it worth it? It's all insignificant. Everything is moving in this world, in this river of names. So transitory, here today, gone tomorrow. His Grace Tribhuvanath Prabhu, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he used to say, don't take the illusion too seriously. It's just a computer game. And the kid is totally into it. But the adult is just looking and laughing, saying, it's just a computer game. So let us realize whatever happens is happening under Krishna's sweet will. Whatever reactions come to me, whatever seeming negativity comes to me, I need to experience that. Let me try to develop the vision that people are the messengers of my karma. Nayam jano me sukha dukha hetur. People are not the cause of my happiness in distress. Manam param karanam amananti. It's my own mind which is the param karanam. Samsara chakram parivartayadyat. And it's that mind which is perpetuating my existence in this material world. So yes, life is too short. On the deathbed, we don't want to have grudges. We don't want to be imprisoned by negativity. We want to be free of all of that. So let us pray to Krishna to give us that magnanimity to just overlook all of it. I hope that helps. Forgive me if it doesn't.
Thank you. Mike, one more. We'll take one more question. Can you pass the mic?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for such a beautiful lecture. My question is that I want to understand the two things basically for my clarity and for others if they have doubt. It's like it said that if we are engaged in Krishna consciousness activities, then all our material attachments will be vanished with time. Other side, you also mentioned the same point in the class today. Other side, it is said that if we are keeping the material attachments, then we are not going to develop love for Krishna. So, because many a times we are not able to, like personally me, almost all the time I am not able to leave the material attachments. And like it is said that if we are not leaving, then we are not going to develop love for Krishna. So, I want clarity over the two contradicting statements. Once it is said that if we are doing activities, that will be vanished. Other time it is coming to us, like it is said that if you are not leaving, you are not going to get love for Krishna. So I just need clarity between the two.
Thank you so much. Yes. Bhagavatam says, Akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo daradhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. That even if you are sarva kama, even if you have every material desire under the sun, just engage in devotional service, everything will work out. And then we also hear when we recite the offenses against the holy name, and it is also an offense. No, what is that? The 10th offense is to maintain material attachments even whilst chanting the holy name of the Lord. The point here is that one may have material attachments, one may have material desires, one may not be able to give it up at this point. But while practicing devotional service, they are not purposely trying to cultivate those desires, and they're sincerely desiring that those material attachments and desires disappear. What is this verse? Tato bhajeta mam prita, the first verse before that. Jata shraddha matkata shu nirvina sarva karma shu veda dukhat makan kaman parityage pyanishvara. Let's do a survey and see if this relates to you. Jata shraddha matkata shu. Are you someone who has developed some faith in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness? Put your hand up. Okay, good. Nirvina sarva karma shu. Are you still not able to give up all your material desires? Put your hand up. Veda dukhat makan kaman. Do you realize that all these material things will ultimately cause you misery? Put your hand up. Okay, so you qualify. So what's the solution? Tato bhajeta mam prita shraddhalur dvidanishaya jusamanas chatan kaman dukadar kamshagarhayan. If this stands for you, you have faith, but somehow you can't give up your material desires even though you know that they cause misery, then what does the Bhagavatam tell us? Tato bhajeta mam prita. Don't worry, just carry on. Shraddhalur dhrida nishchaya. Being faithful, being determined. Jusamanas chatan kaman. All the while in your mind contemplating, these material desires are not going to bring me any happiness. Krishna, please do some internal operation. In this way one should carry on, and eventually one will be able to purify their heart. So yes, we may have material desires, but two things. First thing is, don't cultivate more material desires. And number two, sincerely pray that Krishna give you the strength to overcome those material desires. Then, even though we may have so many other desires, through the process, the fire of devotional service, everything will become resolved. Hope that helps.
extremely thankful, Maharaj, for bringing such wisdom, such inspiration to all of us. It was a very long-awaited Bhagavatam from you, because we have been seeing you online, getting inspired. So let us thank Maharaj.
I've also been seeing all of you online.
We look forward to having more of you. It seems that every talk that you give satisfies us fully, but makes us more hungry to hear more. So there's an evening Gita class at 7:30 by Maharaj being given right here. So if you can make it, please do come, otherwise online. But for the time and for the inspiration that he gave today, let us thank Maharaj by loudly chanting, Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! So now there will be a short kirtan by Akhila Bandhu Prabhu. And next door in Gopalji Hall, there is the beautiful Julan that will be starting in some time. Please do attend that. And Maharaj has penned many books. We know first him as first as author. So few of his books are available downstairs at near Diamond Tower. So please, if you want to take, please do this. Gita 3 and Tattva. And last but not least, one of our brahmacharis has written a book, Smart, Be the Smarter You at the Workplace. So would like Maharaj to launch this book. Rasikramanpu, please do. Rasikramanpu has written his second book, Be the Smarter You at the Workplace. Can you please open, Maharaj?
So our sampradaya is the sampradaya of the pen. So Srila Prabhupada said, don't be dull, you should also write. So our acharyas, they were so empowering. Who could be a more prolific writer than Srila Prabhupada? Srila Prabhupada was like the modern day Vyasadeva. He was really presenting all the literatures. But Srila Prabhupada was so magnanimous. When he began Back to Godhead in the early days, 1966, he said, one article, my Guru Maharaj, one article, me, and one article, one of you. That was amazing, because Srila Prabhupada, from day one, he told his disciples, you also write, you also bring your realizations forward, and according to the climate that we're in, you transmit these truths in a way, in a creative and compassionate way that will reach the hearts and minds of the devotee, of all the conditioned souls. So Rasik Raman Prabhu has been doing this work very wonderfully. He already has one book. This is the second book. I'm sure there are many, many more books. So we pray that through this writing, many more people will come in contact with the Hare Krishna movement and Srila Prabhupada.
So the book is available today at a special discount also downstairs, along with Maharaj's books. This book will also be available. So please do avail, get a copy of this book called as Be the Smarter You at the Workplace. Hari Bol.
Also good for brahmacharis in the ashram. Be the smarter you in the ashram. Thank you so much. Wish you the best.
Thank you,
everyone, for your kindness. Again, my humble obeisances to you. Many more devotees here are senior, more advanced, and more qualified to speak than me. But you all kindly came and gave me the opportunity. So my deep gratitude to you, and I hope to be in your association more and more. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, and Prashana Bhagavatam ki jai.